What is up, everybody, and welcome into the Here's the Deal podcast. My name is Dominic Kendall, and I wanted to thank you guys so much for checking out this podcast. We're grateful for you. It is June. 2023 is the date, and a lot of things are going on in the life of the world. Literally, as a student pastor, I'm getting ready to take all of my students to camp here in about a week, preaching about 11 times in the next 2 weeks, and so it is a busy time. But in the midst of it being June and all that that means, we're currently at recording hearing about what's going on at Target with its transgender bathing suits, we are still in the wreckage of what happened to Bud Light and its marketing plans. And I want to bring up this topic because this has been, especially in these months, and every time we do this, this is brought up to me as a student pastor. What do we do with the LGBTQ plus community? I had a young man come to me not too long ago, and man, tell me, he was just frustrated. He was angry. He was asked in school if he thought a young man was good looking. He said, yeah, man, he's a handsome dude. But in 2023, you can't do that. He was then immediately labeled as bisexual and part of the LGBTQ plus community. And he's like, no, I just thought the dude looked nice. They had nice hair, maybe a good shirt. And now he's frustrated and he's angry. And he's like, all they do is shove this down my throat. And I don't want to be a part of this. And I'm angry. And every time I hear about it, it makes me sick. I've got a LGBTQ plus teacher and it makes me angry. And so what do we do? Like, where do we go? Do we take the slippery slope of those maybe in the United Methodist Church who go, no, not only do we just accept this as something going on in culture, we actually think this is the right way of living. This is actually what God's Word affirms. What do we do in these times? Well, I want to encourage you that the Bible is very clear that homosexuality and any kind of perversion of marriage is sinful. And we see this even from the very beginning. Why? Because God created things with a specific design. For instance, I mean, if you look at creation, you have Adam and Eve, and they were created. Not only were they created to be, that she was created to be Adam's helper, as Adam was to reign and rule, and they were to reign and rule together as co-equal, co-eternal beings, but they were also given to one another, divinely put together, even all the way down to the reproductive organs, for the purpose of procreating and filling the earth and subduing it and pushing God's mission and kingdom and order out beyond the garden where there was disorder, and to grow and fill the planet. And God designed man and woman, and even in the very beginning, not before sin, not when sin entered into the world, but before that, that a woman should leave that a man should leave his mother and father, a woman should leave her mother and father, and that they should be joined together and become one flesh. And so God has created and designed sex and marriage and gender and all of that for his good, for our good, and for his glory. And what the enemy does is he perverts. It's what he does, and he's been doing since the very dawn of creation. And he said, but did the Lord really say? It was the very first temptation in the garden, and it is the same temptation now. It's the same temptation now. And so now it is, it feels like, man, this is new. It has been in Scripture for as long as Scripture has been. It has been the part of man, because sin, when it comes into the, comes onto the scene, it does not just corrupt, just wanting us to kill each other like Cain and Abel. No. Rather, it perverts and it corrupts our passions and our desires and puts them on things that are pointed away from the Lord, and it disorders our affections and our desires away from God's design and away from His plan. What is up? Here's the deal, listeners. It's Dominic here. Wanted to let you know about one of our sponsors, and that is Ear Jams. Ear Jams is a silent disco headphone rental company. Man, it's a really awesome opportunity and really unique in the landscape of events. I don't know if your event is boring. Sometimes ours can get that way. And Ear Jams has helped to spice up those events and make them ones that people remember. It is a memory maker. It's an epic listening experience with fully immersive headphones that you put on, no matter if you have 20 people or 2,000 people. People gather together and with using transmitters. I used our interns, and we have 3 interns who use this. Man, they plugged their phones into these transmitters. It went all the way to everybody's headset, and everybody, all of our students, were dancing and having a great time. It's so funny too when you watch people dance, because they have all the music in their ears, but outside they're singing, and many of them don't know the words, and it's hilarious. We did this for a marriage conference, and we had a silent prom for our adults. Man, it was sweet. It made the time memorable. We've done this for our kids' birthday parties, outdoor movies, outdoor fitness, all these different things you can do with Ear Jams silent disco headphone rentals. You can go check them out at earjams.co. That is earjams.co to check out event ideas, get pricing, and all of that stuff as well. And make sure you do that. Go check them out. Go check out their social media. Go check out their content. Why? Because when you support those who support us, man, it helps everybody win. And so we are so excited for their partnership and hope that you will look at them and use them as well. That is earjams.co. Thanks so much for listening, and go support them, earjams.co. And thanks for listening to the Hear Still podcast. And so we have to be very careful. You know, even Paul would tell us in 1 Corinthians, this was something that was even common back in ancient times, even in Paul's day. This was something that was even so common within these, I say woke, but they're not woke. But in my mind, they're woke of the day, societies where love is love, and that homosexuality was something that was even brought into the church, and Paul, especially to the church at Corinth. He says this, that do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, and it goes on, it says, nor men who practice homosexuality will inherit the kingdom of God. God is very clear in His design, and to go against His design is to be sinful. So what do we do? I think there's 2 extremes. I think you do what the United Methodist Church is doing, and they can embrace and celebrate and say, you know what, we're going to have transgender pastors, we're going to allow homosexual marriages, we're going to, not only are we going to say that this is okay, we are going to love these people so much that we are going to idolize them and bring them above the Word of God and create them as idols in our communities. That is an extreme. But there's another extreme where I find this young man borderline frustrated, along with other young men and young women who are angry, who hate the LGBTQ plus community, who think that they are so wicked and that they are the enemy. And the scripture is very clear that our enemy is not flesh and blood. Listen, the LGBTQ person in your community, in your social sphere, in your job, in your school, they are not your enemy. Listen, they have a sin issue, yes, but they are not our enemy. We know that even the battle inside their heart is one that is spiritual. It's not gender, it's not sexual, it is spiritual at its root. And so in this month, as we see, and listen, this is what we do. We go over the top. When we find something that's sinful, we go in as much as we can and make it big and proud. And it's also especially hurtful because you look at it and you go, hey, they've hijacked the rainbow, which they can't. That is still God's promise. And they, listen, it's unbelievable. For them to wave those flags, for them to think, this is my pride, which is the first sin, and unbelievable that is what they call it. They are still, when they wave that, they are waving the promise of God, that He is kind enough to no longer flood the earth for people whose sin was so rampant that He regretted making humans. They have not hijacked anything. they have not taken something that that they have not taken the rainbow, they've not taken God's promise and thwarted it. But it is a sinful act by sinful people. And how do we respond? With love and with grace. We care and we love. We love the LGBTQ plus community. Listen, our pastor, Pastor Anthony, says this all the time, that churches are going to one day be filled with people who have bought into the ideology, into the lies of the LGBTQ plus community and the transgender community, that this is where you can find your true identity. And when that hits rock bottom, there's going to be a fallout. And the church needs to be there. I want all the LGBTQ plus community people in our ministry, in our student ministry, in our churches. Why? Because I want lost people to hear the gospel. They are not the target of our rage and our disgust. Rather, they should be the people we pray for, we care for, and we share the gospel with. Yes, they are going to be offended by the gospel, but what person who has sin and who is lost is not offended by the gospel? The gospel is an offensive message to those who are perishing apart from Christ, but that does not mean that we don't share it. Listeners, we've got to be those who love those who are part of the LGBTQ plus community. It's hard, it's difficult, but that's no reason for us not to. And how much more were we difficult and hard to love, and Jesus still died on the cross for us. And here's the thing, I talked to a young lady not too long ago who is in our family and is part of some distant cousins that we have, and she's part of this community. And I remember talking to her, and she'd been so broken and hurt by churches who did not know how to handle this correctly. Yes, we need to preach this as sin because it is. But sin, apart from a redeemer, is just condemnation. Rather than the explicit, beautiful gospel of Jesus that says, yes, you have sinned, but Jesus has come to redeem the sinner. And I talked to this young lady and heard her say, "What, you want me to become a? You want me to get straight, leave my wife?" And she was a woman. She said, "Leave my wife to become a Christian." And I said, "No, absolutely not. My greatest desire for you is that you would come to Jesus. He'll save you right where you're at. You repent of your sins. You follow after Jesus." And then I used the line that always is really funny, and I said, "He'll straighten you out." And here's the thing, Jesus wants you where you're at with your struggles and your stuff. Not that he will condone it, but that he will radically change it. He will radically change it. I love this story of a young man who was in Hollywood. His name is Beckett Cook. He was a gay man who was working in Hollywood's entertainment industry when he became a Christian. He explains in a book that that he had wrote, he said this, about how much Jesus demanded of self-denial cuts against the grain of his soul. He says this, "All my life I have been told that to be my true self. But in reading the Bible, he saw that the self is corrupted by sin. So why be true to that? The whole idea of choosing your sexuality is bound to the exaltation of self. It carries the implications of making yourself your own God, putting yourself and your desires on a pedestal and worshiping them. Being true to yourself is nothing short of idolatry." It says repentance means denying the premise behind not only alternate sexualities, but also the premise undergirding the entire spirit of our age. I know who I am, and I know what's best for me. That is where all of this finds itself, is a deep-rooted selfishness and ideology and idolatry of self, which is not only the name of the culture, it is name of sin as well. Let Adam and Eve define what good and evil is. Let them define themselves by what they desire. It's what got us in the mess in the first place. And so my encouragement is this: share the gospel fervently with those who are part of the LGBTQ plus community. They aren't, do not demonize them or make them the enemy, but rather make them the object of your prayer and on your knees fasting and praying for them, for their souls, that God would redeem them. They would see the beauty of who Jesus is, and they would see that he's designed them to be who designed them with a specific design to his honor and glory and for our good. Jesus can redeem even what we would perceive as wicked sins. Jesus can redeem them. He can take what the enemy is meant for evil, and he can make it for good. He can dismantle the LGBTQ plus community for his honor and glory. And we pray to that end. And that is our great hope. But we're not jerks. But we're also not condoning allies of this. We love the LGBTQ plus community, and we want them to be in our places, and we want them to be in the spheres of influence that we have, and we want to make sure that we are among them and love them and care for them. And I mean really love them and care for them. But man, be very careful to walk the line of going, this is good and what God wants. Because if we buckle on God's standard for marriage, gender, and sexuality, we have missed the mark, and we may be kind and the culture may love us, but we have dishonored the Lord. And we better be careful to not be hateful and rude and judgmental and judge, jury, and executioner on people. Because if we do, we have disobeyed God's word and we've dishonored him. We must love people with the same love that Jesus has loved us and push forth that this is sin, yes, but there is one who forgives and can radically change. And he's the one who can satisfy you, and he's the one who can give you true identity. And that's in Jesus. Hope this helps. That you're going to see this all over the place here in the month of June. So we hope this helps. Make sure that you share this maybe with somebody that you know. Maybe this is a sensible way to think through it. Maybe it's not. I'm not sure. But I hope it's helpful for you. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. You can DM us on our social media, or you can reach out on our email. We would love to be able to help out in any way that we can as you kind of journey to walk with Jesus, where kind of faith in the world collide is where we want to do life together so that we can make much of Jesus all of our days. Remember this, that we would love for you to be able to keep this show going. So things like, how awesome is that noise? That's the wrong noise. This is the noise. There we go. Maybe you're someone who's listening and you go, man, I love this. Hey, support those who support us. You can check out, you're going to hear little things from different sponsors throughout the show. Make sure that you support our sponsors. They help keep content going. And we love you guys. We hope that this encourages you. And like always, thank you so much for listening to the Here's the Deal podcast.